Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
Now then, delighted to welcome Ronan O'Gara back to the show. Good evening.
Hiya, Joe.
No surprises, we're starting with the Joey Carver news, Ronan, which has broken in the last 24 hours. He's taken to Instagram to say that devastation doesn't even describe how he's feeling. And you can imagine that is the case. A wrist ligament injury, there's no timeline for his return, but certainly the next couple of weeks are gone, and probably the Six Nations as well, or the bulk of it is in doubt. He has started just four games of rugby since January last year. This is a really rotten run of form for a 24-year-old to cope with.
Yeah, rotten run of injuries, you're right. He's hadn't enjoyed any, I suppose, weeks, months where he can get a bit of rhythm. He's made a brave decision to join a new club. The Wi-Fi is gone, is it?
No, you're okay. We have you if you have us. No, you gone?
I have you. Yeah, no, I'm here now. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we've got you.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, so he's obviously made a brave decision moving club. A lot of it was set up from in Leinster, I suppose. But then the big thing for him was getting game time in the number 10 jersey, and it just hasn't happened. And obviously the World Cup was hugely disappointing, and the fact with his own ankle injury and then coming back, you thought that he did everything possible to get it right, which it seemed to be, and then Saddle's law prevails and you snap something in your wrist, which sounds interesting. It's a ligament injury in the wrist which requires surgery, so it sounds complicated. Sounds nasty.
Yeah, and it must be so frustrating for him because there's no trend to these injuries. Like, anyone can go over on their ankle. I don't know how his wrist injury happened, but presumably he just got it caught awkwardly somewhere. It's not like it's down to a lack of preparation or a lack of condition. This is just bad luck.
No, exactly. It seems to be very fast twitch fiber. A thoroughbred horse probably gets injured a little bit more frequently than other guys because he's so highly strong, I think, and he is a serious athlete, I suppose, maybe. He could easily maybe snap defending some guy in training, but that's only speculation. But yeah, it's bad news from bad news, hugely bad news for Munster and obviously for Ireland as well, because I think on forward it is his time. He has time to respond, but when you're a number 10, you are very impatient, and certainly it's going to be the case for him. It's not a great month to get injured, January, February, March, because as a test athlete, that's when you want to play.
Yeah. I don't know, I can't remember. I don't feel like you had long spells like this where you were struggling for injury and struggling for game time. So I said there, he's only started four games of rugby since January last year. And obviously the reason he moved to Munster was to accelerate his development. Can you develop yourself at all as an out-half on the sidelines watching others play? Like, is there any value in him trying to study other players?
Yeah,
or really,
there is,
do you need to be out there?
No, I think you can to a point. It is every injury is an opportunity to come back better, and a lot of people don't accept that. But I think if it's from his point of view, he has a great capacity to work the lower half of his body, and his wrist will be protected very much so he can get a massive chance to work on his speed and his acceleration and in his leg strength. But he can get a lot of video work done, but nothing beats, it's the same as in any sports. You kind of need to make mistakes and you need to minutes in the saddle, and he just hasn't had that. I think he had a great run when he started to Munster, even in his first touch. I think he either scored or set up a score for the team he was in, and he became a big hit in Munster, and the supporters down there are big fans of his, and he's a quality player, but it's tough at the minute, but he needs to be mentally strong, but I think he is. I think Munster will feel the pinch, but I think Ireland will as well, because he is a guy who can change the game, whether he starts or whether he comes on.
Let's deal with Munster then in the short term, because things are going from bad to worse for them really here. It's a hell of a run that they're on. Their general form, 2 wins from 7 games. If we talk about how they're fixed for out half for Paris this weekend, which is obviously crucial in so many ways, Tyler Blindell's injured, as we know. JJ Hanrahan has a niggling hamstring injury. He played against Leinster on December 28th and seemed to aggravate that again. The province say he's rehabbing well. That's all we know about JJ Hanrahan, but it would be certainly a gamble to play him this weekend. That leaves them with the other registered out half is Ben Healy, part of the Irish Under-20s Grand Slam win in 2019. He's 20 years of age, played against Edinburgh back in November. And then increasingly the word seems to be that their only real other option is to put Rory Scannell in at number 10, where he's played rarely, very rarely in the past. Have you seen Scannell at 10 much?
With Rory Scannell, I think, obviously, he's a very mature player, but he's definitely, for me, he's a 12. I think he can play 10, 12, but it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, his hamstring is progressing well, but the game is Saturday. It's in the U Arena. You're not going to get a faster surface to play on. And you need to be, I suppose, have absolutely no doubts, because what is actually happening nowadays in these European Cup games is that you need your 23 players, and sometimes 23 doesn't seem enough players to have. So you look upon how the spread is done. You have 7 starters in the backs and 3 reserves. One of them is usually 9, one of them is a kicker, and one of them covers 5 positions in the back. So yeah. In that regard, you know, what's best for the team if JJ Hanrahan starts the game and has an injury and he's forced off within 12 minutes? All of a sudden you have a sub 9 and you may have a kind of a sub 10 or a sub outfield back. It really, really restricts you. So I was presuming Munster this week there'd be a strenuous fitness test done, or else there's no need to do a test, because hamstrings, from my experience, and I have plenty of experience in dealing with negative situations, hamstring injuries, it's hugely disturbing going into game with a hamstring strain, and never mind a tear, or never mind having damaged it. So it really takes a number of weeks to make sure you are over it, and you just know that Munster are going to have to push the boundaries in terms of fitness this weekend. So it is probably point in that either Healy will start or Rory will start.
And what do you know of Ben Healy?
I don't know much, Joe. I don't know much at all. I've seen him play a little bit, and he looks a smart player, but this would be a big, big step up. But sometimes this is nearly the situation to launch a young player. You know, I think Rory Scannell, you know exactly what you're going to get, and it'll be probably safe, but you're going to need, I think, a little bit more to challenge Racing at home. They're a team that play with an awful lot of wit and an awful lot of pace, and they're well coached, obviously. You know, I think Rory Scannell at 12, for me, I think he adds an awful lot. So I think he could easily guide Ben Healy through the game.
Okay. Well, that sort of sounds like you're saying there, for reading between the lines, that really Scannell at 10 is just a bad idea for this match.
Bad idea. See, I haven't been on the pitch enough for him, Joe, to give a really accurate view. But what I've kind of known from when I was in Munster and watching him from the television, I thought, I think he's a great second receiver. I don't know, is he a great first receiver? I think he's a really good second receiver. Mm. And I think, you know, I think what we've seen from Munster, when they have been firing, it's been when they've played, I suppose, a more varied game, i.e. less box kicking and more threat with ball in hand, which Larkham has, I think, got them to a point. But they've seemed to, for whatever reason, in the previous weeks and against very good opposition, they've come unstuck.
Yeah. There's nobody else in that Munster squad that would occur to you as somebody who could fill in a 10 at the weekend, is there?
I haven't done my homework, Joe, in terms of who could play there. I have lost track of the young guys in Munster, and
But none of the more established. No problem. None of the more established lads.
No, I'm back. Sorry, the reception is terrible. Sorry tonight. No, I think, you know, it's like, obviously, they are, you know, I mean, looking at numbers 3 and 4, whoever it is, and other than that, there's a, you know, I mean, I think we've discussed it previously on the show, but for me, Conor Murray at 10 wouldn't be an option. No, I think it'll either be Scannell or Ben Healy, but hopefully JJ Hanrahan is okay, and that would make them a different team.
It sure would. And the stakes are high. I mean, Johan Lundgren, when he got the news about Carpi, must have just had his head in his hands, really, because it's been a desperate time for them. 2 wins in 7, I said at the outset. Leinster beat them down at home, and that was 6-13. They were criticised that night, Munster, for a lot of one-off rugby and a kicking game which didn't suit the wind. And then the defeat up in Ulster was just comprehensive in almost every facet. Like Alan Quinlan was on OTBAM this morning. He said it looked like Munster were bullied. Stephen Ferris was on air with Peter Stringer, and they were incredibly critical of Munster. Ferris was saying to Peter Stringer, they've no structure out there, and Stringer was, you know, not disagreeing with that. They just look muddled, confused, low on confidence, and nothing really working.
That sometimes happens, you know what I mean? They've won 2 out of 7, but like three of those teams are the two best teams in Europe, and Saracens and Leinster. So I think sometimes that happens. You can play really well and you still won't get results against those two teams. But I suppose Munster haven't played really well in those two games, which would probably annoy the supporters. But also Ulster, it's a tough place to go to. And if you give them a sniff, the form they're in at the minute, they'll wipe you. And that's what they did. I had a look at the extended highlights of that game. And I would agree with probably what Quinny was saying. They got bullied and they didn't win collisions. If you don't win collisions, there's no point. Mm. If you don't win collisions, there's no point talking about much more, because you look at it all there. It was McCluskey on the front foot all day. He was running in between. Munster were running into bodies and McCluskey was running into weak arms, and he was getting the gain line every time. And they have a lot of threats. They're full of confidence at the minute. You can look at Ulster, I think. There is real belief in how they're playing. I think they probably have had we're aware that they've addressed, I suppose, maybe their mental frailties that they feel internally that they have possessed maybe in the last 5 years when it comes to crunch moments. And that's obviously something that has been discussed, and there's an honest forum, I think, resurfacing in Ulster that mightn't have been there for a long time. So, I think from Munster's point of view, after that, it was still a hugely disappointing performance, in the fact that Munster had a good team. And to be well beaten, the final scoreline suggests 21, it could have been easily 30 points, which isn't ideal. So from Munster's point of view, this weekend is the game.
Yeah.
This is the game. And what gives me a little bit of optimism is, irrespective of previous form, there is a history of Munster in producing when it's at its when it's most needed. And I know that's probably weighing a little bit on history. You have to see a little bit more form from them. But I suppose the old Munster in me would say that the players will have to take control of this week. That was always what happens for crunch games in European Cups. The players own those weeks, and there has to be a response this week. There has to be.
What did that mean in your experience when the players owned these weeks?
Yeah, it was great. It just started with a Monday morning, in terms of maybe an official meeting might be 10 a.m., Joe, but you could have, you know what I mean, Jim Williams or Axel or McGalway or Paul O'Connell calling a meeting. So before the staff thing. Did you get that, or
lost you briefly. You were just saying before the staff came in.
So, yeah, before the staff came in, there would have already been an unofficial meeting, which was kind of, okay, this is what this week looks like, lads. This is what's at stake. And I think at that time, especially for an away game, there was felt a huge responsibility to perform, because Munster do get massive travelling support, and I think that'll be no different this weekend. But I suppose just on top of the fact of a depressing few years in the province, there needs to be a response this weekend. But that's not taking into account the class of opposition they will be facing, because Racing have an awful lot of good players, and they have, I suppose, two ex-Munster men in key positions. Obviously, one is injured and won't feature, but yeah. Dunnick O'Ryan has had massive joy in picking apart Munster teams since he has left, and there's a big skill and a big, there's a massive amount of appreciation has to go towards someone like Dunnick O'Ryan in his capacity to be able to do that, because he's highly intelligent, but also in terms of, I suppose, how he spreads his message around the Racing players. So Munster will respond, but obviously Racing will have a plan of their own in the game in Thomond Park. It looked like Racing were a better rugby team with better players. but they didn't kill Munster, and Munster had that dog in them to keep coming back at them. But on this day, on an indoor arena, you know, I mean, the form of Atakawa, Siobhan C, Imhoff, Doolan, and Teddy Thomas, Ibrahim, Machino, Finn Russell. Finn Russell's having his best rugby season easily for me, because he's producing a consistent level of performance that he hasn't in the past. And defensively, he's fronting up. He was very good against this season. And also, I think his capacity to run the game, I've been very impressed with him. So
yeah.
It's going to be difficult for Munster, but I think what they will be saying to themselves all week is that they have to front.
Yes. Because Van Graan has given an insight into what the last couple of weeks have been like, and there's been the Andy Farrell get-together and players rested the player welfare protocols, and he was saying, we just have had no continuity. Our top 12 guys weren't with us for 2 weeks. Ulster only had two players who had to go on a break. You can see it in their play. They've had a lot of continuity in selection. And he was taught, he was developed that point in various places. And the fact is that, you know, you talked about the dominant collisions up in Belfast. John Klein is back, CJ Stander is back, Chris Farrell is back. So there's a bit of heft back this week. And so if we build a case that Munster might pitch up in Paris in better shape, and, you know, that kind of residual heritage means that they've taken ownership of the week and they're in a good place. How do you make life tough for Racine on that artificial pitch? Do you hold on to the ball all day? Do you kick it down their throats all day? What's the best way to go about taking on Racine?
I think you have to mix it. I genuinely do. I think what you got to do with Racine is you got to really take them through the phases. And I think from an Irish point of view, the one area that we'll have an advantage on would be in their fitness. But like, to be able to do that, you got to be really accurate in your cleanouts, and you have to be really accurate in holding the ball. Because if you kick aimlessly to Teddy Thomas and one him off and Breeze Dillon, you're going to be under your posts. Yeah. And you can only give them away. If you concede more than three tries, the likelihood is you won't win this game. Even though it is a fast indoor disco arena, and the frequency of scores is higher than obviously an outdoor pitch in the middle of winter. But I think where you potentially can go after Racine would be trying to build them through phases, tap into their... because of, I suppose, the culture in Irish environments and sporting environments, especially in the provinces, how disciplined the Irish teams are and how miserable they are with giving away penalties. That has to be a huge advantage. But also, I think what you find with Racine is that the fact that they can be caught narrow at times. So Munster will have to go to width at times. The route one will not work, and one-off runners will not work. And it's hitting Farrell up will not work, because they'll be ready for that. There will have to be, I suppose, wrinkles off that in terms of in and around that, with the capacity to change the point of attack. Otherwise, it'll be a long afternoon, because Racing, you know, have a good history in European Cup, and it's unfinished business from their point of view. And they are a great opportunity in terms of they qualify if they win this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the worry for Munster, you talk about there the artificial pitch, and it leads to more tries. Munster, both in Europe and even in the Pro 14, are well down the try scoring charts. They're just not finding scores easy to come by.
Yeah, I agree. And that's probably historically a problem, Joe. And there's not much you can say about that. I think, you know, obviously the Andy Farrell get together was one day, if I was reading the papers
and a half,
correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct. And like, there was 12 players that were taken out for the player welfare program over Christmas, but that doesn't mean they're on holidays. So you'd like to see their motivation would be extremely high for this weekend. They know that this is a season-defining game. There's no championship in Ireland in the fact that, there's the Pro 14 championship that they're playing, but this is what the provinces are all about. This is what they want. And you know, I think the Munster players will be hurting, especially, you know the quality of guy in Keith Earls, Peter O'Mahony. These guys will rebound. There's three others that you said previously mentioned about winning collisions. Conor Murray has a point to prove. So from Munster's point of view, it's time for axe now, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it'll be a miserable game against Ospreys if they're already out of Europe in round six, and not something they're used to. By the way, how big a point does Conor Murray have to prove after Belfast on Friday?
Yeah, big, and it was big before the weekend, but I think, the Cooney has the momentum, and he's the foreign player, and he's producing every week. The flip side of that is that Connor's the man in possession of a green jersey. At the minute, if you were going in white versus red, it would be white. But then I think that would be negligent in terms of doing a thorough debate on the position, because Cooney is a points gatherer for Ulster. Will he have that role for Ireland, irrespective whether he starts? You wouldn't think so. He seems to be... I'm sure he'll attract the attention of French clubs if he continues in the form he is, because they love a nine that can goal kick. You know, but I think an awful lot of the top players know when they need to peak. None of them peaked for the World Cup. So I know Conor a long time, and I think this is a game now at the weekend that he has to produce, and Munster need him to produce him. And that's sometimes why, from my experience, why players earn the reputation they have. And Conor has a big reputation in Irish rugby, and he needs to, I think, enhance that and concentrate in his own game this weekend. And then Munster, I think, will benefit if he gets his individual performance right.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll let you go. The technology's against us a little bit tonight. We'll talk again and we'll see how things go.
Sorry,
the weekend.
Joe.
No, you're fine. Listen, thanks a million for that. Appreciate it.
Cheers. Good to chat. Thank
Cheers.
You.
That's Ron Lagara, and our rugby coverage is brought to you by Vodafone, Team of Us, everyone in. And I should tell you, by the way, Connacht and Leinster fans, if you were wondering where your mention was coming there, we do have the Connacht Toulouse game live at the weekend on Off the Ball, and we also have Leinster Leon at the weekend. Back in one sec.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of Us, everyone in.